I'm going to start out this morning in John chapter 21. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading today, but as I was looking through this, I just had to do a lot of reading just to find verses that went along with what the thought is. And this goes back to one of the preacher's messages several weeks back, but I would say, I would call this, the Lord asks us a question, or he has a question for us. So in these verses here, I would say, just ponder this question in your heart, how you would answer it. And when the preacher had the message a few weeks ago, he called it, failure is not final, or failure does not have to be final. And he was looking at Peter when he was talking about that. But as I was pondering that question, if he asked me that question, or when he has asked me that question, how would I respond, or how do I show him love? And this is Christ asking us the question. So he asked Peter the question in John 21:15 through 17. Fifteen starts out saying, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee, that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. You know, first, the first thing that jumps out at me is the name that Jesus calls him. Simon, son of Jonas. That reminds me of times I'd be in trouble back when I was young. My mom, if she hollered at me and she said, Thurman Eugene, if she used two names, you knew she was serious. That's the first thing that jumps out at me here. Of course, the second thing that jumps out at me is he asked him three times, Do you love me? You know, we all fail in our walk with the Lord. Certainly I fail in my walk with him, in my service to him. And when we fail, sometimes we hesitate to come to him and ask for forgiveness. And right above here, he invites Peter and the other disciples to come to him. They're out on the boat. I just have to think in my mind, if Peter didn't hold back just a little bit, thinking, I've just denied him three times. What's he going to say to me when I go to him by myself? I think we hesitate because in our physical life, if we're in trouble, we have to go to our boss or we have to go to our parents when we're young. They're going to fuss at us. But the Lord don't fuss at us when we mess up. If you go back up there a few verses and look at what he did, he actually fed the disciples. When we mess up, Christ is waiting on us with open arms, welcoming us back. He wants to know that we love him. That's what he asked them. When we mess up and we come to him asking for forgiveness, that's one of the things he may ask us. Do you love me? So that's what I wanted to look at today. If we fail in our walk, and we're going to, and we go to Christ asking him to forgive us, he's going to welcome us back. If we get that sense that he asks us, do you love me? How are we going to answer him? That's what I wanted to look at today. The first thing I thought of when if we're going to show God our love, it's what can we give him back? We don't have a whole lot to offer. When he comes to us and offers us salvation, what do we have to offer him? We don't have anything to offer him. That's a pretty good trait on our part. But one thing we can give him once we're saved, we can give him our time and our thoughts. And speaking of time, I found an article. This was by the U.S. News and World Report. And it says, over the course of our lifetime, we'll spend 6 months of our life sitting at a stoplight or a red light. My wife and I went to Somerset, Kentucky this week looking around. And in Somerset, that 6 months is probably going to be twice that. We'd be trying to find a place to go to, and it would say, we'd look on our phone, it'd say 3 miles, 10 minutes. I mean, how does 3 miles equal 10 minutes? It seemed like every stoplight we went to, you sit for 2 or 3 minutes waiting on the stoplight to change. So we spend 8 months of our lives opening junk mail. 1 year of our life looking for things we've misplaced. 2 years of our life trying to return phone calls. 4 years of our lives doing housework. 5 years of our life waiting in line to do something. This one, my time might be a little bigger than this. 6 years of our life eating. You know, when you look at time, every one of us have 24 hours in a day. So when God asks us the question, do you love me? How much of that 24 hours in each day do we give to him? That's one thing we can give him is our time. In Psalm 90 and 10, it says, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Verse 12 goes on to say, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I would pray that the Lord would teach each one of us to number our days, just to let us know how valuable that brief time is that we have here on earth, that we can give it to God in his service. Ephesians 5 and 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. 16 says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time means we need to value our time, consider our time, setting aside time for God's work, buying back that time that we would otherwise waste spending it foolishly on worldly things. God blesses us all with many things. He blesses us with health, with our family, with jobs, with opportunities, with security, with answered prayers, with faithful promises that we have through his word. He blesses us with time as well. So how much of that time that he blesses us with are we willing to give back to God? As I was researching some things to talk about, one report I came across, a researcher found that most professing Christians only spend 15 minutes per week in prayer, but 2 or 3 hours a day watching TV. God asked, do you love me? If that's the case, then something's amiss in the time that we spend. Something's out of whack. You know, I certainly won't ask for a show of hands, and I'm not going to raise my hand either. But I would ask you, just ponder this question. How much time have you spent in prayer this week? How much time have you spent reading the Bible this week? Ask yourself, or answer this question, have you read the Lord's Word all the way through. And then tie your answer back to that question, do you love me? There's weeks that I can answer positively in that, but there's weeks, there's even months that I'd have to hang my head and say, no, I'm not showing you that I love you by how I'm spending my time. So when I say that, it weighs on me. We'll continue on in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read 17 through 21. Yeah. 17 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We are to seek God's will in all things, in all areas of our life. How do we do that? I would say the best way is through prayer and through reading His Word. That's how we find out God's will. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're to seek being filled with the Spirit, which will lead us in God's service. It'll open His Word to our understanding. It'll draw us closer to God each day. It'll make us more like Christ in His image. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Worshiping our Heavenly Father, meditating on His goodness, on His promises. We do this through His Word. We must spend time in His Word to be able to do this. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thinking about all the good things He has already done and all He has promised to do, giving thanks and praising Him, He deserves our thanks. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. He certainly deserves our time. 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We can show God we love Him by committing our time to submit ourselves to others, serving those in need, reaching out in God's service. Also on our thoughts, we must guard our thoughts and our time because verse 16 says the days are evil. Satan offers too many distractions for our time and our thoughts. Entertainment, hobbies, work, which earlier I said was a blessing, worries, vacation, working at home, many distractions that Satan will put in front of us. We need to prioritize our time for God first and foremost. We talk about tithing. What about tithing of time? Tithing of time would be 2.5 hours in a day serving and talking with God. If you just look at your waking hours, it'd be 1.5 hours each day. Think what all we could do in service to God and in service to others if we committed 1.5 hours each day in God's work. And giving God our thoughts, I'm going to turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. That's saying don't leave anything out. Talk to God about everything. Anything that's on your mind, big or small, let Him guide you. Let His Word guide you. And thanking Him always for His blessings and for answered prayers. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We heard a sermon on the peace from God just a few days ago. Keeping Him in our life brings us peace. It guards our hearts. It guards our time and our thoughts from Satan's distractions. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Dwelling on God's goodness and his blessings, his love and his mercy, and on his promises, let those good thoughts take over your mind. Let it replace worry, entertainment, evil thoughts, trials and persecution. Let God's goodness and blessings bring joy and bring the peace of God to your heart. 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Finally, those positive thoughts that we've had, that we talked about in verse 8, let those spur us into action, into doing good works, spending time in God's service. So the first question, first time when Christ asked, do you love me? I would say answer it by giving him your time and your thoughts. Second time he asked Peter, do you love me? I would say another way that we can show God that we love him is by giving him of our talents and our treasures. God gives each one of us different talents, different strengths, different desires, and different motivations. We are to use our talents for his glory and in his service. In Matthew chapter 25, we read about the man that was going to travel abroad, and while he was gone, he left three of his servants' talents. He left 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. When he came back, the one that had 5 turned them into 10, the one that had 2 turned them into 4, but the one that only had 1 had gone and buried it, only gave him 1 back. God will bless our work when we use the things he blesses us with for his glory. The blessings he gives us, we are to share. Use them for his glory. If we do that, there's an eternal reward rather than an earthly reward waiting on us. If we fail to use our talents for his work, just as the servant that was given 1 talent, the talent that we do have may be taken from us and given to someone that will use it for his glory. Remember, God looks for our availability, not our ability. If he calls us to do something, he will enable us to do it. What he's looking for is our trust and our faith to step out in his service for what he's asking us to do. He's asking us for faith and obedience, not ability. Turn over to Mark chapter 12. Verse 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him the disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she cast in of her want. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. When God blesses us materially, he gives us the chance to share those blessings with others. Certainly the church is amongst that. The poor widow was generous from her heart, and she's recognized through all eternity for her generosity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye all, always having all sufficiency in all good things, may abound to every good work. I tell you, we can never outgive God. God blesses us. If we're willing to share that back, He's going to bless us further. As long as we're not doing that for personal gain, which I think the world has taken out of context and goes against the Word of God. So He looks at your heart while you're doing what you're doing. It says He loves a cheerful giver. And I think in that case, He's going to reward us back. 14 and 15 goes on to say, "And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." I think when we give, don't seek recognition. If we seek recognition for our gifts, I think we've gotten our reward. But if we give it out of the depth of our heart and do it for the right reason, then God's going to reward that and He's going to recognize that. Matthew chapter 6. I know I'm jumping around a lot here, but I had to cover everything I was wanting to cover. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Jesus speaking says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is talking about the rich young ruler that had come to... Don't focus on earthly treasures, rather share them. They are temporary anyway. When we share them, our reward is eternal. When we hoard them, then our treasures ended up owning us. In Matthew 19, 21 and 22, it's talking about the rich young ruler who came to ask Jesus how to have eternal life. And he goes on to part of his response to him in 21 and 22, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come up, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Verse 22 says he had great possessions. Really, I think the great possessions had him. We can see his possessions. They had his heart. Our heart must be focused on God and His will. And we do this when we're willing to share what He blesses us with. If we're willing to share our talents and treasures in His service, then we can accomplish things in His name and for His glory. So the second answer I would say, when God asks, "Do you love me?" consider how you're sharing your talents and your treasures that He blesses you with. The third time he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" When he asked me that, I thought about another way. The final way I can show him that I do is by putting my trust in him and by sharing my testimony. In our testimony, or just our speaking, I'm sure every one of you will think about people that you know, and even yourself. We talk about what we love. We talk about what's dear to our hearts. Probably the vast majority of us in here are either parents or grandparents. And most of the time, that's what we're talking about, is our kids or our grandkids. If we like to fish, we'll talk about fishing. If we like to hunt, we'll talk about that. Our sports team. How much more should we want to talk about our God if He's really what we love? So certainly our testimony is part of that. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, it's talking about David after he was delivered from his enemies and from King Saul. David had this testimony: "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." I'm sorry. That's in Job. David trusted in the Lord after he was delivered from his enemies. Let me go over and read that. 2 Samuel 22. One through four. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I think every one of us can have that testimony if we're just willing to share it with people we come in contact with. Every one of us, Lord, has delivered us out of something. He's answered prayers for us. He saved our families. He saved ourselves. I think every one of us can have a wonderful testimony if we're just willing to share it. In Job chapter 13, that's where Job had the testimony. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. As persecuted as Job was, and we all know the story of Job, still he trusted in the Lord. So can we. In Proverbs chapter 3, and I like this because of, I just think it's some of the best advice we can give to young people when they're open to listening to us, like new graduates, people getting married, things like that. Sometimes we have the opportunity to give them some advice. I think this is excellent advice to give a young person, but it's excellent advice to give anybody and for us to follow. Chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I think those two verses there are the ones that are excellent advice to give to people. Verse 7 goes on to say, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Solomon trusted God. Again, I'll say, so can we. Trust in God, listen to him, obey him, follow his will, and he will guide you where you should go. God's plan for us is always going to be better than anything we can plan on our own. He knows the end from the beginning and all in between. Trust in his plan. We honor God and glorify him when we give him glory for our blessings and when we share his blessings with others. The results? Just go back to verse 10. We see our future blessings promised to us in verse 10 when we do things his way and for the right reason. You know, a few other ones that come to mind is Daniel trusted God when he refused to pray to the king rather than to God. And when he was threatened with a den of lions, Daniel chose God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted God when they refused to bow and worship the golden image. And they were threatened with the fiery furnace. These men trusted God and he delivered them. Again today, so can we. Turn over to 1 John. Chapter 4. We'll start in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Let us love one another. Care for each other now. Care for each other's soul. If we love our brothers, that shows we are born again, that we are saved, that we are born of God. We have his love within us. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I'd say that if we are a Christian, we must love our brothers. That is from God. God is love. If we do not care for others, then God's love is not within us. God's love is not in our heart. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We know God loves us because he sent his son to us, for us. You know, and that made me think back to the three questions he asked Peter, all three of them the same thing. Peter, do you love me? Most of the time, if we ask somebody that, do you love me? They're going to say, of course I love you. Do you love me? I mean, that's just natural response. But in none of those questions, none of those three instances, did Peter ever ask him, do you love me? We don't have to ask him. I've never questioned, does God love me? Does Christ love me? He showed it. He showed it when he came down here when I was still a sinner and he was willing to go to the cross in my place. There's no way you can doubt God's love for you. And if that love is in your heart, then we have to love one another. That goes right along with what we had on the sign outside, if you looked at it. John 3:16 was on the sign outside this morning. If you believe John 3:16, there's no way we can doubt God's love for us. So when he asks us, do you love me? I mean, it's not even a thought. Of course I do. Do you love me? We don't have to ask that. He showed us. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Again, we didn't love God. We rejected God. But he still loves us and he offers us salvation. And that offer of salvation we can respond to. So we can respond to his love just by accepting his free gift. Then we can love him in return. When we love someone, we often show it by the gifts we give them. God gave us the most precious gift of all, his son. How much must he love us? Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. As God loved us, we should reflect that same love for one another. As God sent his son to us, Christ now sends us into the world to tell them of God's love and to show them God's love from our heart. Verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. It says, nobody has seen God, but now the world can see him through us and in us, in our words, in our behaviors, and especially in our actions. Verse 13, hereby know we that dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. If we are Christians, then we have the Holy Spirit living within us. That Holy Spirit will guide our thoughts and our speech and our actions. People should be able to see that. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Because of what God has done for us and in us, prayers he's answered for us, we have a personal testimony that we need to be willing to give to others. Trust God to give you the words. Then it's up to the Holy Spirit to utilize that testimony to reach people's hearts. It's not our duty to save people. None of us can save anyone. It's our duty to tell them the gospel, to tell them the good word, the good news, and tell them what God's done for us. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. If we will confess Christ is the Son of God and accept him as Lord, then we can be saved. That's the one and the only way. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love of God, the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We can know we are saved because he changes us. When he puts that love in our heart, that's not a natural love. That's not a love any of us are really capable of. He places his love and his spirit within us, and when he does that, it's going to change us. By that change, we know we're saved. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. His love for us causes us to love others, no matter what they may say or do, giving us boldness in proclaiming the truth of God's word, giving our testimony, trusting the Holy Spirit to do the drawing. 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I think John quoted this verse last Sunday or the Sunday before. If the love of God's in our heart, our fear needs to be gone. Love directs us rather than fear. God's perfect love casts out fear of what others may think of us. We want to give them our testimony. We need to tell them about God's goodness. We must share the gospel. We love them too much not to. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. God came looking for us, not the other way around. Even though we rejected Christ, still he loves us. Even though we crucified his son, still he loves us. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As a man, that's hard to understand. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? We can't love God and hate one another. To love God is to have love for a fellow man. Finally, in verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Loving God is loving others is God's nature. It's also his command to us. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, if you just imagine Christ asking you the question, Ralph, do you love me? Lowell, do you love me? Rick, do you love me? If he's asking you that question, every one of you, do you love me? How would you respond? I think you can respond and say, yes, Lord, I love you. And I'm willing to give you my time, to give you my thoughts, to study your word. Let it change me. I'm willing to give to others of what you've blessed me with. The talents that you've given me, I'm willing to go out and use them. The treasure that you've given me, I'm willing to share them to bless others and give you the glory, not me the recognition. I'm willing to give others my testimony of what you've done for me. With your love in my heart, I love people too much not to tell them about you and what you've done, what you offer them and your promises. And I'm willing to put my trust in the Lord that if he calls me and he urges me to do something, he's going to enable me to do it. Not based on what I can say or what I can do, but based on his will. And give him the glory for it. I was just thinking of those three questions following one of Pastor's messages a while back, and I thought I would share that with you. Let that guide some of your thoughts and let it just dwell on it and see how you would answer that. Knowing that Christ has always welcomed us back with open arms when we fail, but he may well ask us the question, do you love me? And what are you willing to do?